Well, Derek, it's officially happened.
What's that?
I think we fooled everyone.
Go on.
For those of you who may not have watched the Twitters or been aware, Derek and I were invited to Kane's Media Day today.
It still sounds weird to say and weird to hear.
Yeah. One thing we are not. Media?
I was going to say ball hockey players, but you scored a goal.
Yeah.
You have scored a goal at the PNC Arena.
Yes. Which puts me right on par with Wade Minter, I believe.
I think yes.
You're one in the record books ahead of Steve Houka.
You beat me to it, you bastard.
But it was Kane's Media Day, and after having a fifth season of this Cheaters Never Win, the Canes were kind enough to ask us if we wanted to come over for Media Day, chat with a few of the players, and had an absolutely phenomenal time. Again, a huge thanks to Mike Maniscalco and Pace for including us. Mike Maniscalco.
Sonny.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say thanking Maniscalco for letting you score on him, that's a real dick move.
Derek, hold on. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Big thanks to Mike Sondheim and Pace Aichter for including us two local yokels who really just needed a reason to get together and talk hockey as friends, and now we're five seasons deep into this podcast and in a room with Hall of Famers, so that was a fun day. But the nice thing is we get to take all of that stuff that we learned today, which may or may not have been a lot, but we're going to bring it to you in this, a special edition, a midweek edition, an unplanned edition of the Cheaters Never Win podcast.
Bonus coverage.
Bonus. Yeah, so we're going to talk about some of the interviews that we had today. We're going to talk about some of the things we overheard real media talking with players about, and then we're going to get into what was may have been our personal highlight of the day, which was the Jen Connors Memorial Media Cup, which is a ball hockey game played with media and Kane staff, and that was an absolute ton of fun. We'll get into all of the details of that. Broke some news today, though. I think we were the first ones on Twitter to talk about the sea.
Ooh, yeah, that was fun to hear, and we'll get into that more as we talk about what we heard from Bill Peters, but apparently that was news to some other people in the Hurricanes organization.
Yeah, I was sitting at a table with Ron Francis when that kind of made its way back around, and we'll talk about that. We got lots of stuff to talk about, Derek. We said, hey, let's get back to the worldwide headquarters. Let's put together 15 or 20 minutes.
Hold on. I got to stop you right there, Mike. When have we ever done a podcast that went the length of time that we thought it would? Least of all, less than 40 minutes.
Yeah, I know. Thank you guys for listening in advance. Thank you to the Hurricanes for having us out today. And Derek, thank you for hitting that damn X button.
Oh, yeah, man.
Welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, another fine product of Section 328.com. Here you'll find all the Hurricanes hockey talk, adult beverage reviews, and snark a growing body needs. Follow us on Twitter at Section_328. Respect the underscore. And now back to Derek and Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Voice. And thank you, our loyal listeners, for listening to us. This episode of Cheaters Never Win, still a proud part of the Sports Channel 8 Podcast Network.
Whoop, 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 whee!
Hayes Permar, Chief Honcho, Chief Muchacho, and President, CEO, and Chief Janitorial person over at Sports Channel 8.
Hey, he's a custodial engineer.
I tell you what, he was out there today doing a great job getting some good video. Make sure you make your way over to SportsChannel8.com later on today or tomorrow once he gets a chance to edit all of that down. But athletic shorts and a blazer. I didn't know that was a look.
Better look, athletic shorts and a blazer or jorts and a t-shirt?
Jorts and a t-shirt.
So that's a better look.
Yes.
Why?
Because Sebastian Aho rocked jorts and a t-shirt today.
I did. I saw that today. I didn't know Aho was a Florida Gators fan.
Yeah, I know.
Or just SEC football in general, but I saw him there and I was like,
Maybe he's
I see jeans. I also see knees. Those are jorts.
Maybe he's a fan of Florida Man.
Oh, God.
Yeah, could be. The things we should have asked today as part of Media Day, but
why jorts?
Did not want to embarrass ourselves. But Derek, let's jump right into it again. We had had a chance to talk to a lot of the players. The day was kind of kicked off by alternate captain and kind of chief name on the Hurricanes, we'll call him, Mr. Jordan Stahl. Had a great summer. Golf tournament went well.
Mm-hmm.
Mom hit a hole in one.
Good on moms.
We what else did we learn? Eric Stahl, all three of the Stahl boys. So Eric, Mark, and Jordan. All bought a house up on a lake. Started with an S. It was a long name. Yes, sir. Go ahead. The man who has his hand raised on an audio-only podcast.
You mentioned three brothers. There's a fourth.
I'm sure they have an extra room out back for him.
They have an in-law suite for Jared.
Probably. But yeah, no, it was...
He lives in the pool house with Carlton.
Wow. No, that they... all three had bought lake houses up on the same lake, and he said there's now 8 grandkids for Henry and Linda to play with, and all the grandkids kind of bounced back and forth between all of the houses. So the three Stahl boys would get up in the morning, go out to the rink, train really hard together, and then in the afternoon they could spend family time together. So for as much grief as we give them, that was kind of a really fun, nice little story that, you know, as you know, personally I have this thing in the back of my head that, you know, every decision should be family work self and in that order, and the fact that the Stahl family gets a chance to spend their summers together like that kind of made my heart feel a little bit good
now
today.
When you say give them grief, and we have given the Stahls grief as far as like the, you know, hashtag leadership and all that
hashtag lackadaisical change,
but one thing we've always said about them is they care about family, and maybe they just don't like to be the loudest voice in the room. And what you just said, that story about them buying places on the same lake together so they can spend time as a family, kind of goes in line with that. Like, we're not knocking them as people. It's just, have Eric and Jordan been put into positions that they are not naturally meant to fill?
Oh, I think we've beaten that horse,
right?
You know, about the head and neck area.
I think that's awesome that they all get to spend time together on a lake.
No, I thought it was very nice. Also, took a second. I asked Jordan, you know, with all kind of the family competition, a couple of different guys have won Stanley Cups now. Is there any competition around, you know, video games in particular when the ratings for NHL 17 and 18 are out? You know, who has the best rating, and is there any you know, any small jabs across the family? And basically he said, we've all got so many little kids that we have no time to play video games anymore. And I, as a parent of a 2-year-old whose first day of preschool was today, I know exactly what he's talking about. Derek, do you know anything about that?
I will soon.
Yes, you will. All in all, Jordan obviously prepared, ready for the season, basically intimated that it is a playoffs or bust type of season for this team, and everybody on the team knows about it. Something that was interesting, though, I believe Andrew Schnitker from Technician asked him about the Captain C, and Jordan basically came out and said, you know, I don't know who it's going to be or necessarily who it should be, but I think it's time. I think this team may have been served well last year if there were a voice who could have kind of stepped up and really led this and be that bridge between the coaches and players when things necessarily weren't going really well. So interesting to hear that he said that. And then not shortly thereafter, you basically broke some news on Twitter around the captaincy.
Yeah, so... I was sitting around a table with Coach Peters, and apologies to whoever asked the question. I forget who it was, but the question was asked to Coach Peters of, what's up with the captaincy? Are you going to go into this season with or without a captain? And Bill Peters was very definitive in saying that the organization will name a captain by opening night. It wasn't by opening of training camp. It was by opening night. And he went into a little bit of detail that they don't know who it is yet. I asked him to blink twice if it was Justin Williams, and he didn't. So that was something. But he said it's not going to be named by him. It'll be named by the organization. So I don't know if he's alluding to the front office, if he's saying it's going to be a broader decision that takes in hockey and PR and some of those things. But I think Luke Tkachuk even asked a clarifying question because he was walking by like, wait. You're saying right now that you are going to name a captain. And Bill Peters reiterated, yes, we will have a captain by opening night. And as you noted, That was apparently news to Ron Francis.
Well, it was and was not. So later on, I had the opportunity to be sitting with the general manager and Hall of Famer Ron Francis, and Corey Lovelett from North State Journal asked, so Ron, Coach Peters said that you guys are definitely naming a captain this year, and wanted to know, you know, what, without naming names, what's the decision process? What are you looking at? How is that going to go? And Ron's response was, oh, really? good to know. But no, Ron did say that they have talked about it as an organization. Right now, the plan is they are going to go into training camp, and they kind of want to see how this plays out in training camp. They know what they had coming into last year, but they want to look to see what they've got in training camp. So they've got a couple of weeks for this to play out, and their intention is the last preseason game is on a Friday, and then they have 8 days.
I'd say a full week.
A full week before the regular season tips off on Saturday, October 7th, against the Minnesota Wild.
Great seats still available.
And they will, in that 7-day span, their intention is to name the next captain of the Carolina Hurricanes. So do not expect anything to be named until kind of that dead week. And I think just from a ramping up to the season perspective, that's the type of thing that can get folks excited.
Oh, hell yeah.
That can really get a lot of media buzz. So during kind of that down week, where folks are just kind of ramping up, sending the guys down to Charlotte and back to juniors, that'll be a good opportunity for this Hurricanes organization to be able to deliver some media content. So what else did Coach Peters have to say?
Well, I was saying, before we get into that, one last note on the captaincy is, you know, I think when the 328 crew made all of our predictions for who's going to be the captain, Mike, you were the one who first pointed out Justin Williams, correct?
I believe that to be correct.
So when I was sitting with him, again, apologies to whoever it was that asked the question, but they asked him about the captaincy that is currently vacant, and people have talked about the fact that Williams is here in part for his leadership. And he mentioned that captaincy is not on his mind at all. And he said that the coaching staff and management has not told him that, hey, you're here to do this and to fill this role as far as a leadership perspective. And he said if he tries to be somebody that he isn't, that it wouldn't work well. So he said he's just going to be himself, and that will encapsulate a lot of the leadership and being a voice in the room. So he's certainly one of those guys in the mix, whoever it's going to be. I mean, I would say your betting odds are going to be Williams, Slavin, and Skinner are your three favorites.
I would agree. I think the Vegas line is currently 3-5 on Williams.
Ooh, 3-5.
3-5 on Williams.
Damn.
Yeah. Deep favorite. I believe the odds are 2-1 on Skinner, and are one. Yeah, 2-1 on Skinner, and 3-1 on Slavin.
I would take 2-1 on Skinner right now.
I would take 3-1 on Slavin right now.
All right.
One thing that I picked up, you know, when Ron was talking about what they were looking for, he said, you know, we would talk about, you know, potentially we got a group of young guys, and then he talked about older guys, and then he talked about guys in the middle. The fact that when asked about the captaincy, the first thing that came to Ron's mind was some of the younger guys leads me to believe Rod Brind'Amour said on SiriusXM NHL radio that one of the guys, this was last season, one of the guys who is ready to be captain is Jacob Slavin.
And knowing that he's going to be here for, I believe, the next 31 seasons helps out.
So, yeah. Good guy, good in the community. We've talked that one to death. But Jacob Slavin, I think, if I were a betting man, as much as I like what Jeff Skinner is, what he brings, Jacob Slavin could be that dude.
Yeah. Either way, but Bill Peters, the other things that I heard from him were, I had a couple questions. One was around the special teams, because last year the penalty kill was so good and the power play was not as good. So I asked him, you know, what do you want to get from the power play to make them as good as the penalty kill? And he didn't have any specific answers that he offered up to me, because, you know, why would he give strategy away to a guy such as myself? But he pointed out that, you know, the competitive nature within himself and this team that he wants to build is, if there is a stat that's measured, he wants to be in the top 10 of it. He said, you know, if you're in the top third of the league in just about everything, you're going to be a really good team. So he said their goal is to just be in the top 10 of their power play. Didn't offer up any specifics on how they would get to it. The other thing I tossed his way was, you know, one of the things that we always think about as fans is the State Fair road trip that takes us away from the Hurricanes for the better part of 2 weeks. And I wanted to know what he thought about how they can make this road trip more successful than last year. I mean, last year's wasn't the abject horror of the year before, where I think that was the year that Jordan Staal broke his leg and just all hell broke loose. But, you know, kind of like we've talked about with Tripp Tracy and his encyclopedia knowledge of hockey, Bill Peters was like, you know, we played a good game in Winnipeg and just let that point get away. We should have come away with two. And then the next game in Vancouver, kind of a similar situation where we played well but didn't play well enough to get the 2 points. And I'm going, oh, shit, he's going to make me look really stupid now. But what he said was they just need to find a way to close out games. And I think we all completely agree with that, that you guys played well. If you can just get turn 1 point into two a handful more times, that trip is going to be successful, and it's going to set you up for a lot more success down the road.
Yeah, I ask a couple of the guys about the very same State Fair road trip, and they were thankful that they're going to be able to get a chance to get in a couple of games here in Raleigh in front of the home fans before they hit the road. So that was something they were definitely looking forward to. Thought that getting a couple of games at home under their belt may set them up for better success as they take that on the road. And it's not, I believe this year's State Fair road trip is only 4 games.
Yes.
As opposed to the 6 games or 7 games that it has been in previous years. So that's something that the players absolutely are recognizing and know that they need to come out on the better end of that. Mm-hmm. And again, just exciting to know that these guys are getting there. They're getting ramped up. And one thing I wanted to mention is we're kind of sitting here saying what players said. We recorded audio, but we're learning here as non-media that that audio, while maybe intelligible for you and I who were there, podcast worthy, it's kind of rough because there's a lot of noise and mumble and rumble. We're going to try to clean it up. If we can clean it up and get some of the clips out there, you'll be able to find those over at section328.com. But in the meantime, we're just going to talk about kind of what we learned today.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing that Bill Peters said is he plans on having two distinct teams to start off the preseason. So, Mike, I think you said you heard from Ron Francis that there's 59 players coming to camp, which is
currently 59 Carolina Hurricanes players coming to camp. And here's why that's important.
That's a hell of a lot.
I actually asked Ron Francis because there is one player name that's floating out there. In particular, our good friend Canalytics is just going, please, Canalytics, I hate to let you down. But there will not be a PTO given to anybody. The people who are coming to camp are the 59 that are coming to camp. So John Michael Lyles will not be receiving a PTO, nor will any of the other potential veteran defensemen or Jaromir Jagr.
God bless America. Why has no one signed Jagr? This chaps my ass.
I know. You need some chapped ass stick. But no, so 59 players coming to camp. Ron said, hey, that's a lot of players. They've really got two distinct teams that they're going to be able to go out there and run with. So, do not expect a lot of necessarily cohesiveness, from the teams until we get to potentially that last preseason game where Bill can start to maybe pull some guys together. Yeah. But big camp. And you know what I like about that? We have organizational depth to where we can have that many players come to camp. But man, it's going to be a lot of guys out there. A lot of long days for the coaching staff.
It is. And you know, Beal Peters.
Jessica Beal Peters.
Bill Peters mentioned that, you know, part of the reason they had these two teams was in respect to the goalie position. Because, you know, Corey Lavallette asked him, Scott Darling's here. Everyone assumes he's going to be the starter outside of the locker room because of his contract and, you know, this and that. And the article where Chip Alexander was talking to Cam about, you see the writing on the wall, right? And Cam, to a man, said that, yeah, he kind of sees, you know, what's going on. And Scott's the younger guy with less tread on his tires. But Peter said that he wants to see what each guy can offer with a set team so they kind of know who they're playing with so they can be as comfortable as possible going into the preseason playing with some new guys.
I like that.
He didn't name a starter. He said, I want to see what I'm getting from both guys. But come on. We all know, right?
He just wants somebody who can make a freaking save. That's all he wants.
Jesus.
Make a freaking save, for God's sakes.
Scott Darling sat with him for a little bit. Not only is he tall, he's big.
Yeah.
Like Eddie Lack last year. He's 6'4 or so, but he's wiry. Cam is not a stout guy. Most goalies, I would say, are of the lankier variety.
Agreed.
Scott Darling is not that man. I mean, he's 6'6. I think he's 230 or so. Like, he's a He's a big guy.
Yeah.
He walked into the room and I was like, hey, who's the tight end? Oh my God. Jesus. And that beard. Just
beautiful.
Gingery luxuriousness.
Yeah.
I wanted to take a nap in it. It was just,
parts it and small birds fly out.
I was like, I've seen Disney movies where beards aren't that luxurious. It was phenomenal. Guy's got a presence too. You know, kind of got this just upbeat happiness about him that just,
but I was also going to say unassuming.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, yeah. Like the type of guy you just want to hang out with for an afternoon. So, but I didn't get much of a chance to hear what he had to say.
So the couple things, you know, a lot of the questions were things that, you know, not to pat ourselves on the back, but we talked to him earlier. So we knew some of the questions to ask about what are his expectations and this and that. And for a guy who said he didn't make any splurge purchases, he was wearing a very nice looking Apple Watch. So he's putting that $4 million to use by probably spending $450 of those dollars on an Apple Watch.
Ooh,
big spender.
Big spender.
Big spender. But now, the couple of things I asked was, one of the questions that we've heard a lot when people have talked about the Hurricanes and the upgrade we've made in net is, well, Scott Darling's a big goalie. Big goalies can't usually handle a workload because they'll get hurt like Ben Bishop did and blah, 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 blah. So I asked him, I said, is there anything that you do as a taller goalie to make sure that you can avoid some of those kinds of injuries that tend to happen to taller goalies? And he thought that was just a bunch of crap. Not necessarily my question. At least he was kind enough to not make me feel like my question was crap.
So you didn't get the Ron Hainsey obligatory eye roll?
No, I did not.
Well, good.
I didn't feel it in my soul anyway. But he said, no, there's nothing that I do that's special. That was when he kind of mentioned that he feels like he's been fortunate in a way to only have played as much as 42 games in a season. So he's 28 years old, but I would say if you compare him to a lot of NHL goalies who are projected to start, he probably has the mileage on him as a goalie of somebody who's a little younger than he is, kind of the opposite of Cam, who is, he's 32 now?
32 playing with the body of a 70-year-old.
Right, because he's played so many games. The other thing I asked about him is, we know goaltenders to be a superstitious lot, you know.
Potentially.
We've got Patty Waugh yelling at pipes. We've got guys doing this, that, the other thing. And I asked him, I was like, do you have any superstitions we should watch out for? Are you going to be yelling at pipes? He said, no, he's not a superstitious guy, but he does have his routines, and he didn't really want to elaborate on what those routines were. So we can just make up our own theories if we want.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure there will be a keen eye placed upon him from the cat's bird seat that is Section 328. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we see him skating in figure eights or figure nines or skating in consecutive sixes after somebody scores on him, we'll know.
You know one thing I just thought of, though? As he's a man from Chicago, maybe he puts celery salt on his hands before the game.
Oh, huh. If it's Portillo's celery salt, maybe he'll let us borrow some.
I'm just saying.
Couple other interesting tidbits that came out. You had a chance while you were sitting with Coach Peters. I was fortunate enough to again be with Ron Francis. He did share a couple of things. It looks like Martin Nichas will be playing in the Czech Republic this season.
You mean Marty Nachos?
Yes, Marty Nachos. Party Nachos.
Oh, it's Party Nachos now.
Party Nachos. Again, would not expect to see him in Traverse City. Where Sarnia would probably much prefer him to be there, so that way they could be giving him just the full on press. Or I'm sorry, Sudbury. Sudbury's who picked him up in the OHL.
I didn't know.
But yeah, and he basically said, look, I leave it up to the player and their agent, and he feels like that he's going to probably be better served by playing another season over in the Czech League, so he's going to defer to that. So I think that's interesting, the fact that the Canes aren't putting any pressure on him to come over here to play on a smaller rink.
I think it's excusable that we didn't really know where Party Nachos, the official Nachos of Andrew WK, where he's going to be playing his junior hockey, because he won't be there. I'm not going to name names because I don't want to, but there was someone talking to Sebastian Aho who didn't know that he played in the World Juniors. Or not the World Juniors, the World Championships.
Things happen. Other Ron Francis things that we learned. Alexei Sorella and Valentin Zikov are both fully healthy, have been cleared by their doctors for 100% training camp, but the team wants to remain cautious with them. So they are going to be held out of the first three preseason games, and they will remain in yellow jerseys for at least the first 7 days of training camp, which leads me to believe, okay, are these guys a potential re-injury factor, or is this simply a case of the team wants to give them the best opportunity to potentially make this club?
They want to kind of trim a little bit of the fat away from the roster first.
Right. So that way they're not out there getting beat up by guy 57 and 58 on this roster. So again, interesting little tidbits there from the Hall of Fame general manager, Ron Francis, on two guys who have the potential to not only make this club, I think, but to be influential. Mm-hmm. One of the things Ron pointed out, he goes, you know, when you look at the top six around the National Hockey League, there is a whole lot of parity. And one of the check boxes, you know, obviously needed to improve goaltending, check the box there. But one of the things they wanted to make sure that they did was improve the bottom six. Mm-hmm. And Kruger definitely addresses that.
Oh, yeah.
As does the natural progression of some of the younger players that we have in the system. We're looking at you, Brock. But also the fact of you've got guys like, I mean, higher caliber guys like Sorella, like Zikov, you know, PDG, who have the potential to really make that bottom six better versus, I don't know, Jay McClement.
Who?
What?
I have scrubbed him from my memory.
He is the guy currently plummeting down the charts in the Section 328.
We still got to put those on the website, don't we?
Yeah, we're going to do that eventually. Section328.com, the all-time Hurricanes rankings. They will be making their way to you probably during that week, that 1 week.
Sometime between now and opening night.
But I'm thinking we should have them done during that week where the Canes announce a captain, and then we have that 1 week of kind of dead time. So we should do that.
Okay.
No, this is a good planning session.
I like that, Mike.
Thank you guys for sitting in on this meeting.
Thanks for taking notes.
The production meeting of Section328.com. Had a good chance to talk to Lindy as well. Lindy came strong with saying how displeased he was with starting last season. He knew that his game was not up to his standards, but he felt like he had a great summer. They celebrated quite a bit after winning that gold medal, but now he's ready for camp, and he is excited to come in knowing that while his assist numbers were really good, and he sees himself as a passer first. He even said, I think I am very good at passing and setting people up and making that with the puck. But he knows he can't have 11 goals.
Right.
He knows, he specifically said, he goes, you know, I'd like to be 25 goals. You know, and if we could get 25 goals and
stop it, Mike,
and 45 assists out of Elias Lindholm. It's a good thing we don't have video on this podcast.
Yes, it is. When you mentioned Scandinavian players who said they admittedly got off to slow starts, listening to Aho talk, he said that making the adjustment was a little tough. He said it probably took him 20 games or so to get more confident playing on a smaller rink with the fast pace of everything. But once he got used to that, he started to feel more comfortable. And hell, I mean, we saw that. He ended up having a fantastic season. But one of the things that you and I both agreed that he looked a little bigger today, you know, as far as his muscle mass, but he said he didn't put on any weight. So I don't know if maybe he just was still getting rid of baby fat because he's such a young guy, but he did look a little more muscular. And he said one of the things he worked on this offseason is making sure that he can stay strong because he realizes as a smaller player, he needs to be fast and strong to not lose those one-on-one battles.
He did a
phenomenal job last year.
And he did. He looked, to just the naked eye, he looked markedly, the arms felt a little bit bigger, and he looked like a guy who had definitely matured from a muscle mass perspective, and, you know, maybe he dropped some liver weight, I don't know. Neither of us have. But he looked good. I did get a chance to ask Aho just one very kind of lighthearted question, and I said, you know, there tends to be a music difference between European players and North American players. Who are the best and worst DJs in the locker room? And while he would not drive the proverbial bus over anyone, he did say that he thinks Jeff Skinner is probably the best locker room DJ that they currently have.
A lot of T-Swizzle and Ed Sheeran?
Potentially. I see nothing wrong with either of those, whereas I know you vehemently disagree.
I take great umbrage with both.
T-Swizzle will write a song about you, and you will feel horrible about it. But, no. So, again, I think that just goes to show, you know, a guy like Sebastian Aho looks to Jeff Skinner as a leader, not only on the ice, but as a disc jockey.
Mike, thank you for setting me up by mentioning Jeff Skinner. That was well done.
Thank you.
We didn't plan this out, but you're a professional, and I thank you for it. Jeff Skinner spent a good amount of time talking with Hayes at Sports Channel 8 and then sat and talked with a bunch of other folks. And, you know, he's ready for this season. One of the things somebody asked was, you know, you've never been in the playoffs in the NHL. The last time you were in the playoffs was in the OHL with the Kingston Rangers, and he tore it up in those playoffs. And is he looking forward to that again? He said, absolutely. It's like, it's the reason why we train so hard in the off season and we play all 82 games is to play the games beyond 82. And he's really ready to get there. He's still not quite used to seeing himself as one of the older guys on the team, despite the fact that he still probably would get carted everywhere to buy beer around here. I did ask him a couple things. One was about his defensive play, particularly his stick checking, his back checking, which we've noted before have been much improved in the last couple seasons. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know, like, how much of that was his drive to be a better all-around player versus how much was it the coaches telling him, we need to see this from you? And he kind of laughed. He's like, the coaches want that. He's like, the coaches, if they want to trust you, you need to be able to do these things. But he also... he kind of said it's a little bit of both. You know, he wants that drive to be better personally, but wants that ice time and the trust from the coaches. The other question I had for him was not hockey related at all, and it was about his success on the table tennis tables.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. For those who don't know, he tore it up. I forget what the exact tournament was, Mike. Do you know?
Yeah, it's a tournament that happens. The NHLPA puts it on in Toronto every summer. Basically, they try to get a representative from just about every team. Again, my apologies to the NHLPA and the charity which they support out of that. But great fun event. The NHLPA Twitter feed has all sorts of that stuff.
So, you know, there was a question before about the leadership and how the room is, and he said it's a really close group. So I was like, okay, it's a close group. They probably saw the fact that, you know, you won this ping pong tournament. I said, who's going to be the first guy to challenge you, and does he have a chance? And he just kind of laughed. He's like, you know, I don't play much during the season, so I get kind of rusty, but in the off season, I'm pretty darn good. He didn't mention anybody that would challenge him, but he did say that if somebody did, they probably didn't have a chance.
No, wait, did he say no chance?
He did.
That's what you've got?
He did not go full Vince McMahon intro.
Oh, that'd be so good.
But he seemed pretty confident that nobody on the team can touch him. So
can we Photoshop Jeff Skinner's head on Vince McMahon's body doing the no chance walk down to the ring?
Hell yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that.
Also, because we know the entire team listens to this podcast, someone challenge him and record it.
Oh, yeah.
Do that, please.
Hey, Canes Media. This would be a good little fun team building preseason, a bracket tournament to figure out who's going to challenge Jeff Skinner during camp.
Also, you know what happened? What results in less injuries than playing little soccer out in the hallways before a game?
Ping pong.
Right.
Yeah. Skinner, Peters, Darling, Francis... Who else? Oh, yeah. Justin Williams. The Justin Williams. Looking like he might have gotten a little bit of a haircut. Not like a full
very
haircut.
Little, very little.
But like someone just went through with thinning shears to kind of just tame it just a little bit. I had a chance. I asked Justin about his free agent decision and how much pressure potentially his old teammate Rod Brind'Amour had placed on him. And he said, you know, there was really no pressure. He said, we just looked at what the landscape was, what each team had to offer, and specifically what each team's future was. As an older player, he wanted to be with a team where he felt like he could grow and help some of the players around him grow. And as he kept asking questions about the hurricanes and where they were going, he said, I just wanted to keep learning more and keep learning more and keep learning more. And he goes, yeah, Roddy talked to me a lot, and I had a chance to talk to Roddy a lot because I trust and value his opinion. But at the end of the day, the more that he heard about this Carolina Hurricanes club, the more he liked. So, you know, that's great to hear. Mm-hmm. I then maybe stepped into a landmine and asked him, I said, okay, you know, you guys had one of the best power plays in the league up there in Washington. You know, what's it going to take for the Canes to be better on the power play? And he goes, well, I haven't been in a power play meeting yet. So I couldn't really tell you. So I said, well, basically what we learned from your time in Washington was give the puck to eight. And he laughed. I'm pretty sure he laughed at me, not with me.
I'd like to think it's with you.
No, I'm pretty sure it was at me.
Okay. I wasn't there, so I can neither confirm nor deny.
You were there. You were just on the other side of the room. But yeah, no, Justin Williams looked great. Very upbeat, said he has not had a chance to play nearly as much golf as he would like. He's played one round since he's been back, but he said the family has kind of settled into a really great routine, and he says one of the things that's been important to him as a player throughout his career, he's been most successful when he and his family have the opportunity to kind of get into a routine, and it's just a job. It was kind of great to hear that he's like, all right, I see it. It's a job. Wife's happy. Kids are happy. Let's go.
I like it.
I did. I did too. Did we miss anything, Derek? I mean,
I don't think that we did. The only other thing that I overheard was Aho talking about the fact that it was great to represent his country in the World Championships, and was asked, you know, how does he feel about the Olympics not being a part of, or NHLers not being a part of the Olympics. And, you know, he kind of danced around it, and I don't know how much of it is, you know, obviously I would say of the players we talked to today, he had the most tenuous grasp of English. His English is very good, far, far better than my Finnish. But, you know, if you're trying to make nuances or make jokes, it's a little tougher in his second language. But, you know, he just said it's an honor again to play for my country, and that decision, I have nothing to do with that decision. So yeah. I think that's probably the stock answer you're going to get from almost any player that you ask about the Olympics. But it's going to be out there, and I can't wait for it to be March, and that question goes the hell away.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. One of the thing, as we were talking, I did get a chance to ask Ron Francis. I said, Ron, with all of the high picks that are playing for the Charlotte Checkers this year, plus Mike Vellucci, former associate general manager, now the head coach of the Charlotte Checkers, what are the expectations for Charlotte? And Ron basically said, he said, you know, the expectations are not only the playoffs, but that this team will go further in the playoffs, will learn to win, will learn what it takes to win in the playoffs, and will continue to grow. And then he made a joke about Mike Vellucci feeling the pressure to not only perform in Charlotte, but as his first coaching duty as a head coach, to go to Traverse City and win, because we won last year, and it's ours to win again.
Our roster for Traverse City looks really good.
Well, and he even said, he goes, you know, we potentially could have sent an even better roster. They could have sent Sorella, but due to the injury concerns, they're keeping him. They could have sent Walmart. They wanted to get some younger guys in, so they didn't send Walmart. So, you know, there was, you know, Ron basically flexed and said, look, if we wanted to go up there and run them, we could, but we're using this tournament for what it's for.
But out of respect, we're not.
Out of respect for the Little Caesars Arena or wherever they're playing this thing this year. Traverse City. I know. I'm just making...
The Cherry Festival Dome.
Yeah. I know where they're playing it. I just want to make a Little Caesars joke.
Speaking of know where they play, it just hit me that I think when I was talking about Skinner, I may have said the Kingston Rangers, which is way the hell wrong. I know it's Kitchener.
Yeah. Kitchener, Kingston. One's in Jamaica.
Yeah.
One's not.
Yeah. Kofi Kitchener.
Derek, you and I played a ball hockey game today.
You did. I ran around with two hands on a hockey stick, oftentimes one, because I don't know what the hell I'm doing with a hockey stick in my hands.
So it was after media day. It lasted probably about an hour or so. Players coming and going, having a chance to talk to everybody. Mike Sundheim, Pace Sagester, and the Canes staff put together a great ball hockey tournament there on the floor of PNC Arena, referred to as the Jim Connors Memorial Media Cup. Jim Connors passed away a couple of years ago. He was the sports, I believe he was the sports editor for then Time Warner Cable Sports. Mm-hmm. Again, great guy, always loved the Canes, and it was our pleasure to play in the Jim Connors Memorial Media Cup today. To the Canes, maybe maybe this is how they plan things. They put you and I on different teams.
I think that was smart.
Probably.
You know, it will increase the trash talking, because I think that we talked about it afterwards. You know, we didn't know going in how serious some people were going to take it, how lax it was going to be. And it started off, you know, people are having fun, and some people are really good athletes. I'm not in that group.
You are the Joey Mormina of ball hockey.
Oh, Jesus, Mike.
You looked like a giraffe out there. You were a giraffe with a hockey stick.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
But I think you and I were chief on each team of trash talk.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And not necessarily chirping individuals most of the time, but just, you know, doing what we could to keep the banter going between both teams. But I tell you what, Mike, the team that I was on, we had the height.
You were on Team Maniscalco, so let's talk about a few of the guys on your team.
We had the height, we had the weight. So it was there was Mike Maniscalco in net.
Team captain.
Who did yeoman's work in net, made some spectacular saves, and he's going to buy all of the bird's eye frozen vegetables for his groin based on the saves that he had to make. But Mike Sundheim was on the team with me, so there's another tall guy.
Mike Sundheim, just really, really good out there today, and was taking no prisoners.
None whatsoever. Also not taking prisoners. Corey Lavalette, he's a, I tell you what, pretty decent with a hockey stick in his hands, but Mike Salarte, that guy knows what to do with the twig.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Mike Salarte plays on like a B-level team and, you know, grew playing up in Chicago. Yeah, Mike really good with the stick. You know, overall, Team Maniscalco.
We had the height, but we didn't have the runners that your team had. You guys had the Jamaican relay team.
You guys had great width. I referred to Mike Salarte as the Chris Weidman of your team, and he took quite umbrage with that, so I'm proud of myself there.
Good on you.
But no, I was a member of Team DeCock. Luke DeCock was the captain and chief center on our team. Probably our team MVP was our backstop. As they called him, Wilbur, Shane Willis was in net. We thought about trying to swap out goalies during an intermission just so that way Shane could rip a few on Mike. But yeah, Shane was just clutch in net today. And you're right. We had some gazelles on that team.
Pace Sagester runs his ass off.
Yeah, Pace. Kirsten, who was a member of the Kane staff. Also, we had Smitty. You know, Smitty just out there.
Joe Ovius ripped a couple.
Joe Ovius ripped a couple. Yours truly with a 3-point day.
Oh, look at you. You know,
goal, two assists.
I knew you had the goal. I forgot about the two helpers.
Yeah. One of them was quite a long pass from my own end. I was out there trying to play D. Didn't let anybody get behind me. I did, though, at one point, I was last man back. Coop Elias, social media manager for the Hurricanes, was about to go past me, and I had a choice I had to make. I could either let him go past me and trust my goaltender, which I probably should have done, or in a recreational, not quite charity, but, you know, for a memorial cup, I cross-checked Coop out of bounds and over the boards, and resulted in the first and only penalty shot of the day.
Which he scored on after kicking the ball back to himself. I ended the day with one assist. It was a secondary assist. So
you also, I don't want to say anything, but I believe you may have a future working at Disney.
Go on.
Turnstiles, Derek. Turnstiles. Ooh, you just got twisted and turned.
I made a few good.
No, you didn't.
No, there were a couple.
Yeah, you had that. No,
no, there were a couple. I got my stick on the ball of the opposing team. I'm not saying the 18 that I didn't, but there were a couple times that I did.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. And again, huge thank you to the guys out there. Maniscalco made a point. I mean, the goal that I got was a softie. It was in the corner. Andrew Schnitker should have cleared the puck. I stole the puck from Schnitker and ripped one from outside at an odd angle. Went complete five hole on Mike. He was screened. Mike said it was soft. I just thought it was pure skill.
It was nice, Mike.
But I got a pass in the slot. Beautiful, beautiful shot. And I think I heard Mike Maniscalco's groin rip as he made just this amazing save. And while part of me will remember scoring for the rest of my life, my dreams will be haunted by that Mike Maniscalco save, because it was a thing of beauty. And see, and that was one of the few things that stopped it from being double digits in the second period.
Yeah.
Because during the second period, Maniscalco stood on his head.
He did. I maybe should have played forward with my total lack of skill instead of playing defense. So I would have been less of a liability.
Yeah. It was some interesting decisions made by your coaching staff on that side, you know. I noticed there was a couple of times where you and Andrew Schnitker were back on defense. That often did not result in positiveness.
I was going to say quality.
But forwards wise, you did match up, because when I was out there on defense with some other folks, I did notice that your team would run Sonheim out there and Sonny, being good at the hockey and also quite lanky. I'll let that go. I did win a board battle in the corner against mm-hmm. Sonny, so that felt good. All in all, made a couple of bad passes. Tried to make the Ryan Murphy exit pass right up the middle. Newsflash, the from your defensive zone pass up the middle doesn't work really well in regular hockey or ball hockey.
No.
But at the end of the day,
hell of a lot of fun.
Team DeCock came out 10-7 after three solid periods. Team Maniscalco made a furious comeback in the third. I believe scoring five goals in the third to try to make it combative and competitive. But needless to say, the defense in front of Mike Maniscalco let him down. But we're going to blame the goaltending because on this podcast, that's what we do. We blame the goaltending.
And no one beat him glove side high.
No, that was the one thing Mike specifically said. He goes, there was no way I was letting anybody beat me glove high, because I knew you were just going to, you would be in my ear for the rest of history.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was an absolute pleasure. And again, the Canes do a phenomenal job. We're looking forward to a great season of hockey as the Carolina Hurricanes get back to Raleigh. Derek, it's about time.
Mm-hmm.
Business is about to pick up.
Hell yeah.
Training camp's getting ready to start. Mm-hmm. We've got our all-time Canes list that's coming out. You got a bunch of episodes of Cheaters Never Wins that's going to be coming to you. We're going to continue coming to you on at least a weekly basis, pretty much, I think, from here on out. We may have to have a couple of special co-hosts over the next couple of weeks. You might have something going on in your personal life.
I may have a small child arriving.
So we wish your future child, Ryan... A Cam Wrestler, maybe?
No. That absolutely will not be her name.
Urban Ezekiel Wrestler?
No.
Okay. Well,
I want her to have respect for women. It will not be Ezekiel.
Okay.
But I can say one thing that, or not more than one thing, that is on the way between now and the season, Mike.
What is that?
We've got more merch.
Ooh.
We've got more merch coming.
We got some new merch coming.
Yeah.
We've got a special edition podcast that's going to be coming your way. We've got some more partnership with Sports Channel 8. We've got sponsors for the opening night tailgate that we're going to be able to talk about soon enough. We've got all of our plans for the opening night tailgate we've got to talk about soon enough. You guys have probably, hopefully, enjoyed, if you haven't, the latest episode of Cheaters Never Win, featuring the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes, NBC Sports legend, and future voice of hockey in America, John Forslund, from last podcast. Patreon subscribers got a chance to listen to that a few days early exclusively. So if you'd like some of our exclusive content, go over to patreon.com/section328. For as little as $1 a month, you can get some of the exclusives. Once you get up into that $10 a month range, you start to get free t-shirts a couple of times a mm-hmm. year. So again, we really appreciate all of that. And if you can't join us on Patreon, is there another way folks could support us, Derek?
Absolutely. So those shirts, buy them on Amazon. But before you buy those awesome shirts on Amazon, just go to section328.com, click the buy on Amazon button, head over there, buy a shirt, buy a weed eater, buy some AA batteries.
Maybe you're in Florida and you're preparing for Irma to come to you. Thoughts and well wishes to everybody in the path of the storm. But maybe you need to buy some water. Maybe go to section328.com, click on the buy Amazon button, and then buy cases of water to have delivered to your house.
Whatever it is that you buy on Amazon, just go to section328.com first, and it kicks a small percentage back to us so we can keep the podcast running with all the different fees and equipment and all the things that are associated with that. And we truly do appreciate all the support, whether it's through Amazon or through Patreon directly.
Yeah, and again, we appreciate you guys listening, and you know what we appreciate more than that? The fact of you guys come up to us. We had a friend of the podcast, Wild for Canes, stop me at the Durham Bulls game last week and said, hey man, I'm really looking forward to it, and it was good to talk Canes with somebody that I didn't know personally, but I knew on Twitter, and we were like immediately best friends. So that was really fun. So if you see us out or you're at a game, come on up to Section 328, come say hi, we really enjoy this. All of the info about the opening night tailgate is going to be coming to you very, very soon. We've got, again, sponsorships that we've got to lock down here this afternoon. But again, thank you to the Canes. Thank you to Mike Sundheim and Paige Saister again for just allowing us to be part of something we never thought we'd be able to be a part of, and try to continue to be a little bit of the fans' voice here in Caniac Nation.
Absolutely. Well said, Mike.
There you go. So I think that's it for us today. Do we have something else?
Sir.
Okay, so today's coffee review.
No.
Is that not what
we
did here?
No, Mike, so you started off today saying that we are now in season 5 of Cheaters Never Win.
Okay.
What do we do in every day, or I'm sorry, what do I do near the end of every episode?
Ramble and yell?
Okay, other than that.
A beer.
See, there you go. So yeah, got to review a beer, Mike. So today's beer that I'm reviewing it's not a North Carolina beer, and I feel a little bit ashamed for that, but this is from a brewery that I really enjoy their work. It is 21st Amendment out of the state of California. This is their Brew Free or Die IPA, but not just the regular one. It is their Blood Orange IPA, and I pulled up a couple of notes here because their can doesn't offer up any information. According to their website, it is a 7% alcohol IPA. Flavoring hops are Centennial and Citra, but they've dry hopped it with Citra, Mosaic, and Chinook hops. And it has 100% fresh blood orange puree in there. So I like 21st Amendment's work. I think they do a lot of solid brews. This beer, it's slightly filtered. Like, it's a little bit hazy. It's got a nice golden color to it, but you can't see directly through it. It almost looks like there's a little bit of sediment.
It's kind of like Mike Maniscalco's goaltending.
Ooh. Oh, God, that's rough. But I think that sediment ordinarily would be concerning in a beer if it didn't have fresh fruit puree in there. And I think that's what's floating in this beer, because it doesn't taste off like it's separated or anything like that. It keeps a little bit of head on the beer, but not much at all. And the nose is pretty much exactly what you'd expect. Like, there's a little bit of hoppiness to it, and the Citra hops come through. There's other citrus fruits besides orange on the nose, but the predominant one is that like fresh squeezed blood orange taste. And that's what you get on the palate too. Like, the first taste of it, it's hoppy, and then it's followed by citrus. And that citrus is a tinge sweet, but that's immediately followed by some more bitterness. And it finishes nice and dry, so you want another sip of this beer. Really, really tasty stuff. I think the 6-pack was $10 or so. Would strongly recommend it. So if you want a good, refreshing IPA, I think the orange is nice still this time of year as we're getting out of summer. It's supposed to be in the upper 70s the next few days. This is just really crushable.
Yeah, no, it looks good. It smells like an IPA. And if you don't like IPAs, you could drink what I'm drinking, which is coffee filled full of Irish whiskey. An Irish cream.
Well, there you go.
Which is a good thing to have in the middle of the afternoon on a day off after you've had an amazing day like we've had today. So, guys, gals, thanks for listening. Great day. God, I am excited for Carolina Hurricanes hockey to be back.
Hell
this team
yeah.
is going to be good. This team is going to be fun. We are going to be playing into May, and we are going to do some awesome, awesome stuff with you guys this year. Let's get it.
Preseason in less than 2 weeks. Training camp opening, I believe I overheard today, unofficially the 15th is when training camp unofficially starts.
Beautiful. So guys, if you didn't know, players are skating over at RCI 10:30, 11 o'clock, depends upon what day. If you've not made your way out there, you can go out and see all of the Carolina Hurricanes who are in town out there practicing. We did confirm with Scott Darling that his equipment did arrive today, and he will be on the ice starting tomorrow. So make your way over to RCI. You may see one of us. More likely, you will see my significant other, Raleigh Monkey, and potentially a tiny little human that may also live in my house running around there. So please be nice to all of them. But more importantly, go out there, watch what the Carolina Hurricanes have brewing, which is something really, really awesome. So thank you guys for listening. We do appreciate it. And anything else?
I think that's it, Mike. I mean, for this bonus edition.
Yeah, I know. I think we kept it under an hour, maybe. If we didn't,
we'll see.
We'll see. Thanks for listening. My name's Mike.
This is Derek.
We're out of here. Bye.